Roll call for Monday, February 22nd. Anderson.
Here.
Here. Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Boner.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert. Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Fladern.
Here.
Wasserberger.
Here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
The prayer this week that we're going to have with us, I think, all week is Mark Marston from the First United Methodist Church. Reverend Marston, would you please lead us with the prayer?
Yes, sir. Let us please bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you for giving us work, duties, responsibility. We thank you for calling us to serve you and to serve others. In this work, we develop character, wisdom, and faith. Guide these men and women, our Lord, that they may serve you and serve Wyoming. Bless them with patience, grace, forgiveness, and wisdom. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
Would you please join me in the pledge? Right here. Put your hand up. Yeah. To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Play ball. With that order of business of reading, correction, approval of the journal, will the journal clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports the journal of February 19, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
You've heard the report. Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Let's see. For the nurse today, it's Cynthia Woods from Wheatland. Can you give her a round of applause? And the doctor of the day is from Gillette, Dr. Fall. Dr. Fall is a pediatrician, so Dave, you're about the only one here qualified to see the doctor today. And actually, I'll just take this moment. Let me introduce, this is Dave Westbrook. He's from Laramie. He's almost three. You're almost three? And he loves the Cowboys. And he brought with his, who'd you bring with you today? Your mom? He brought his mother, who is my daughter, Kim. Kim, if you'd stand up. Kim, Kim is the product of your school system. She went to school in Laramie. She was a chemical engineer through college, and then after being a chemical engineer, she went into the WAMI program and did her residency in Nebraska, and is an OBGYN and returned to Laramie, and now she delivers babies, and she's an OBGYN in Laramie with Dave. And as a side, one of Kim's closest friends is Abby Fall, Dr. Fall's daughter, who was also went into obstetrics gynecology in Nebraska. It's a small world, and as this goes. Next item is Today in History. In 1897, President Cleveland issued a proclamation establishing the Bighorn National Forest. Session status. Today is day 11 of the proposed 20-day session. Today is the last day for second reading in the House of Origin. Tomorrow is the last day for third reading on bills in the House of Origin. Let's see. We got a new page to introduce. Evan, why don't you come on up over here? I'm a little handicapped, so if you just come on up here. Evan, this is a pen that we give to pages at the beginning. So this is Evan McCarrick. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Evan, you're going to be with us for 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks, and you're from South High here in Cheyenne. Well, we're delighted to have you. When you're done, I'm going to warn you, we're going to ask you to speak at the microphone. If you really want to do the mic, you can do it today, or you can just wait till the end.
I'll wait.
Great answer. I think that's fun. So thank you for being with us 2 weeks, and we appreciate you, and that we look forward to having 2 weeks with you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks. Everybody give her a... You got to get a smile. He's a ham, so he'll do just fine. One more. All right. So, members of the Senate, I would like to take this moment this morning to recognize the newly formed Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative. To honor this organization and the request, we've got a joint resolution that's been signed by all of you, and this is the resolution. A joint resolution providing recognition of the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative, a new organization to increase breast cancer awareness and prevention across Wyoming. Be it resolved that the 63rd Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative builds on previous efforts in Wyoming to raise awareness and educate Wyoming residents about breast cancer, and whereas this initiative emphasizes increasing breast health education, financially assisting breast cancer screenings, facilitating patient navigation, and promoting survivor recognition. And whereas 100% of the funds raised through the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative remain in Wyoming and provide grants to existing health partner programs. And whereas a group of dedicated volunteers from across the state have formed the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative Advisory Team, who with many other volunteers will plan and execute the March 19th 52 Cups for Cancer and the August 16th inaugural Wyoming Pink Ribbon Run. Fundraising by the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative will be granted to health programs throughout the state in November of 2016. Now, therefore, we resolve that the members of the Wyoming Legislature encourage residents to support the important cause by volunteering and participating in the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative's activities throughout the year to increase breast cancer awareness and prevention in our state. Section 2. The Wyoming Legislature hereby recognizes and commends the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative for its important work and dedication to Wyoming residents. Section 3. That this resolution be presented to the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative to recognize the significant impact the organization has had on the state's residents. Joining us today would be the resolutions, our outstanding members of the advisory's team, Mary Oslin. Mary is from Gillette, and her late husband, John Oslin. Actually, I was just commenting that my father grew up in Gillette, and John Oslin and my father were best friends, lived next door to each other on Rockpile Hill. And Lori Heath, if you'd stand up, and if folks would give them a warm welcome for being here. Thank you. Mic is on. There you go. Well,
good morning. Phil already introduced me, and I thought at first I was in the wrong place because when John was in the Senate, I was up at the Capitol a lot. I just want to thank you all today for your participation in this event. You're very important to all of us. And I just wanted you to know that breast cancer occurs in older people, too, both men and women. And in May, I shall be 88 years old, and I have been a survivor of breast cancer for 8 years. So, and I'm just here to thank you, and thank you.
I will want to follow just briefly. Thank you, Senators, for allowing us the opportunity to speak about the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative, and thank you so much for the joint resolution. That really meant a lot to us. So my name is Laurie Heath, and I'm currently acting as the president of a volunteer advisory team. And so just a little background, Susan G. Komen was in Wyoming for over 20 years, and then based on, you know, due to national reorganization requirements, they are going to have to leave the state. So the Komen affiliate will not be in Wyoming, but a group of us decided that the mission was still very important to continue. And so we have an advisory team and a group of volunteers that are helping with the events, and we're forwarding the same cause, and same, it looks going to look a lot the same. Just so a little bit of background, too, Wyoming was always the worst state for breast health screening, the 50th in the state. It wasn't a really good thing to brag about. We've actually moved to 48th. That doesn't a lot to brag about, but it does say that what we've been doing has been working. And so we wanted to continue that momentum, and we think it's definitely worth and has value to continue. But the best part about it is all the money we raise in Wyoming will stay in Wyoming. And so we are going to open grant application this summer through the Wyoming Community Foundation. The Credible Foundation is our fiscal sponsor, so we just feel like it's set up perfectly. We'll open our grant applications in the summer. We'll award in November so everyone can know how the money that they're giving will be spent by the end of the year. So what I need from you, we really need from you to go back and talk to your health organizations. You should have on your desk some information. We want them to know what we're doing. We want to know what their needs are so we can appropriately grant to all the counties and communities. Ask them to get a hold of us. They're at the information info at wyomingbreastcancer.org. We also want you to participate by volunteering, whether it's in some of the events we have in Cheyenne or in your own community. And then we ask that you would donate or sponsor some of the events financially. And as in the past, as you know, we have a competition between the Senate and the House. So there's going to be a team for the Senate for the race. It's the Wyoming Pink Ribbon Run now. It's very similar to the previous race for the cure. So it's a Wyoming Pink Ribbon Run. So the Senate's going to have a team, and the House is going to have a team, and we will publicize the winners. So we really hope that you could participate in that. You'll be receiving an email. Once we pull our registration, put that together, we'll send that to you so you can register. There's two more events I want to tell you about. On March 19th here in Cheyenne, we have 52 Cups for Cancer. Actually, Mary's granddaughter wrote a wonderful book called 52 Cups of Coffee, and it's really a good story of building a network, and that's what we're going to bring her in as a guest author. It's going to be a wonderful event at the library on March 19th. And then again, August 6th is our Wyoming Pink Ribbon Run. So on behalf of all the volunteers, on behalf of the advisory team, who also includes Susan Thomas, Bobby Barrasso, wonderful Mary Throne, all are survivors. And so we really appreciate their dedication to this team and to Wyoming. We have many, many other volunteers. On behalf of them, we really thank you, and we appreciate the recognition, and we thank you for all that you're doing for our state.
Mary and Laurie, thank you very much, and Representative Throne, thank you for your time and your tremendous efforts and dedication to the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative. We wish you the best of luck this year. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming to see us. All right, now, before we get started business, Dave has one thing he wants to finish, right? What do you want to do? He wants everybody to sing Cowboy Joe, doesn't he? Everybody's got to get up and sing. Everybody, if you join up. Okay, he wants to do it in the microphone. Okay, how do you start it? We always sing, drag music to the cattle as we sing. Back and forward in the saddle on a horse. Pretty good horse. You're dedicated and you ought to hear the meter to the roar of his repeater as they run. Yes. The rest of folks all know. He's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from old Wyoming. Kick-time cowboy. Talk about your cowboy. Ragtime cowboy Joe. C-O-W-B-O-Y. S. Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. All right. There's your coin for doing a great job. You ready to go back to your mom? No, you want to stay here all day? You want to read bills in? You're going to read bills? We have the next order of business. You ready to go? Thanks,
Dave. Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Mr. President,
don't
forget his toy.
Oh! Dave.
That's yours. Remember how to do that? Grab both ends. Try the other side. Two ends.
With that order of business of messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, message number 125, February 19, 2016. Third reading, passed, amended. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 1, General Government Appropriations 2. Ayes 49, noes 10, excused 1. Sincerely, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. House Bill 1, first reading, no, House Bill 31, first reading the bill. I thought it was thick enough to be House Bill 1.
House Bill 31, Uniform Securities Act. Sponsored by the Corporations Committee, passed the House by a vote of ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 31 is having been read first time is assigned to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 52, first reading the bill.
House Bill 52, School Facilities Appropriations 3, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, passed the House, ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill number 52 is assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 53, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 53, Special Districts Task Force, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, passed the House, ayes 46, noes 13, excused 1.
House Bill 53 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill number 60, first reading the bill.
House Bill number 60, State Health Facility Missions Statutory Compliance, sponsored by the Labor Committee, passed the House, ayes 56, noes 4.
House Bill number 60 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Joint Resolution number 2, first reading of the bill.
House Joint Resolution 2, Kenny Sailor's Naismith Hall of Fame, passed the House, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill number, or House Joint Resolution number 2 is assigned to Committee number 4, Education. House Bill number 1, first reading the bill.
House Bill number 1, General Government Appropriations, sponsored by the Joint Appropriations Committee, read passed the House, ayes 49, noes 10, excused 1.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E, House Bill 1 is referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Reports from standing committees.
February 22, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, to whom was referred House Bill 59, engrossed, Healthcare Statutory Compliance, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Kraft, Driscoll, and Peterson. Noes, Senator Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. February 22, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, to whom was referred House Bill 56, engrossed, Advanced Practice Nurse Licensure Compact, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Kraft, Driscoll, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. February 22, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, to whom was referred House Bill 55, engrossed, Nurse Licensure Compact 1, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Kraft, Driscoll, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Or at that order of business of bills on second reading. Senate File 70, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 70, Off-Road Recreational Vehicles.
Senate File 70 has an amendment.
Senate File 70, second reading amendment number 1, corrected copy, page 1, line 7.
Senator Burns.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70. Mr. President, this amendment came at the request of the Attorney General's office. The first portion on line 3 has to do with basically grammar. Change the plural of right-of-way is rights-of-way. And the second portion of it on line 8 is just wanted to add that language. The Attorney General was concerned that if the bill went into statute without this, it might leave a loophole that authorizing people to drive ATVs on public highways without licenses.
Senator Von Flatern.
Point of order on that. Are we on corrected copy?
We're on the corrected copy, second reading amendment number 1.
Yes, because the lines didn't match up to what was...
All right, thank you. You want to check your red folders, it'll be there. Senator Scott, on the amendment.
Mr. President, I wonder about this amendment. I thought maybe the loophole was going to be of some use. The concern I have is that I suspect that in the rural areas, particularly where you get one of these county roads that comes through a place, that in fact... Particularly high school kids that don't yet have a license will drive one of these ATVs down that road, down that right-of-way, just in order to get to their irrigating dams and change them or do other ranch chores. And I wonder about, frankly, both the amendment and the bill a bit, but particularly... where the amendment tightens it up, I think you might cause some real difficulties in the rural area. So hoping for a more thorough explanation, but at this point, Mr. President, on and against the amendment.
We're on the amendment. Are there any further? Is there any further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time? If not, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the amendment doesn't make the current law any looser or any tighter than it did before. We're dealing with rights of way, and the purpose of the bill was to allow YDOT to be able to put ATV trails within the right of way. Now, if somebody wants to game the system to use an ATV in a right of way, otherwise, this is not necessarily going to change that. It was illegal before. It's still illegal.
We're on the amendment, second reading number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 70, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 95, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 95, iCare Consumer Protection 2.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 95, second reading, amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Scott, on the amendment. Second reading, amendment number 1.
Yeah. Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, on Senate File 95, as you may recall, is an effort to fence out the use of these automatic refracting devices where they just put them out in some kind of a kiosk and you could then get your eyeglass prescription that way as opposed to being seen by an optometrist. And what this amendment does, it was an amendment we discussed in committee but didn't have the language at hand to do. This amendment is copied out of the Nurse Practice Act, Mr. President, and is pretty standard. It's present in a number of our licensure bills, so that nothing in this act, and this act doesn't refer to the Optometrist Whole Act, but does refer to this new section that's being created here. It doesn't affect the activities of any other person licensed under Title 33. So if it's within the scope of practice, an advanced practice nurse could use one of these machines as part of her practice. A doctor could use one as part of their practice, as long as they're within the scope of the practice. And that's what this amendment does. And I think given the nature of this bill, it's important to have that exception very clearly made, Mr. President. So I urge adoption of the amendment.
Any discussion on the amendment? There being none, we're on second reading amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 95, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 96, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 96, Marijuana Edibles.
We have amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in the First Amendment?
Senate File 96, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, line 11.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 96. Mr. President, I've been kind of bothered by this bill as it's worked through its way through. You know, we've had folks that testify that with the new forms of marijuana and the new very powerful concentrated edibles, that we need to have a very small quantity in the total edibles. I've also been bothered that I might remember a little too much or too little back in my college days, Mr. President, and that people would make homemade concoctions of this that perhaps were not that significant in the world as to make it this high of a penalty as compared to other forms of using marijuana, which I just don't think is fair in this modern age. So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, what I've tried to do is to say, you know, I've listened to people say there's no tests for the THC amounts or the opiates or however you call it, but it seems to me we ought to give the person that is being charged a chance to show the court that whatever they're being charged with shouldn't really hold up. So that is the purpose of my bill or my amendment that says, and it goes at the end of Part G on page 3, and it says, it is an affirmative defense to this subparagraph that is shown through credible evidence the total amount of marijuana or
tetrahydrocannabinoids in a compound, mixture, or substance is not more than the amounts contained in plant material as specified in subparagraph A of this paragraph. Subparagraph A, Mr. President, is the amount of controlled substance that you can have in plant form, and that's the 3 ounces that's the threshold in Wyoming. So big penalty above 3 ounces, little penalty below. And what this does is allow the person in court to bring in evidence. They'd have to pay for their own testing. They'd have to do all that to bring in evidence. The court gets to decide if it's credible evidence to show that the edible substance that they have doesn't have any more than the 3 ounces equivalent in the other part of the statute. That's the amendment. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment, Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. In support of this amendment, as you know, I voted no on the bill. I just don't think we should turn people that have large brownies or cookies into felons, whether they be 18 or whether they're 65. So with that thought, this makes it a little more palatable and also gives that defendant a chance to prove that, you know, the baker may have been smoking some of this weed at the time you made your birthday cake, but there's actually nothing in the birthday cake, but yet the dog or whatever sniffed marijuana and suddenly you're a felon on your birthday. That doesn't make sense to me.
Not on your birthday. Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, you know, before we just swallow this amendment down in its edible form, the explanation that the bringer of the amendment talked about was those comparables. Well, I just urge you to be very careful here. There isn't a hard number on the leafy form as far as content of THC in it. They're all different grades and levels, and the free market works very well in the drug industry and the illegal drug industry especially. And so to say we want to have the same relative amount, are we talking about a low-grade marijuana, a high-grade marijuana? What are we talking about? I mean, this looks like it's pretty wide open and could be construed and argued in many different forms. And I'd urge us to be pretty careful on this and defeat this amendment. If you can come back with language that's more refined, I appreciate the intent, but this doesn't get us, I think, where we're going other than to cloud the issue.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment. And the point just raised about the fact that there isn't a lot of clarity in the rest of the statute, I don't think is necessarily an argument against the need to have some sort of ability to defend against those types of unreasonable circumstances. It does not seem like we're doing our best work if we're adding to the lack of clarity, if we're providing additional components in statute where we can't clarify what the concentration is, we can't delineate between high concentration and low concentration, but we're willing to basically say, well, the old statute was entirely unclear, so adding more unclear statutes without any concentration basis, mass basis, or real factual accuracy behind it is the way we should proceed. The more we can do to try and bring data, science, and some standardization into this process through the availability of lab testing and techniques, the better we're going to do in terms of providing justice when we actually have these types of hearings. So hopefully we can support this, and if there is a way to improve it on the next reading, I think we can welcome that, but this is a step forward.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, even if it is low grade, I think it still offers an affirmative defense and goes to the heart of the discussion about that the good senator from Gillette brought up, is that if there's just smoke that gets into the icing on a cake and you can prove that it's less than that just the smoke on the icing, that even a low grade would give you the affirmative defense that it's actually not something that should be prosecuted as a felony if it's a pound cake and you just have smoke in the icing. You know, that's what we're looking at. And so it doesn't make any difference whether it's a low-grade assumption by the prosecution or a high-grade assumption by the prosecution. Either one works as far as this amendment goes. And so, Mr. President, I think it's a reasonable to proceed in this manner to get rid of the unintended consequences when you're talking about something that's mostly flour and water and eggs and sugar. And so that's what this gets to, Mr. President. I think it's a way, and it's going to be an expense for the defense, because these tests are few and far between and extremely expensive to procure. So there's a heavy burden on the defense to go this route in the first place. Thank you, Mr. President.
I'll stand.
Further discussion? Senator Christensen. For your second time.
Mr. President, in the body, if you just reflect on the comments that you have just heard, the wide variety and the different interpretations of what this could or could not do, I think makes the very point that I'm trying to stress here, and that is we don't know what this really means, how it's going to be measured, how it's going to be applied, and I'd suggest this isn't the way we craft law. Let's try and do better.
Senator Rothfuss, for your second time.
For my second time, Mr. President, I would say that about the original piece of legislation. And in fact, the statute that's already in place that governs marijuana and the fact that there's no concentration standards in that, if we do want to do a better job and be specific and have a critical analysis being done so that we have solid statutes, I think we should go back and revisit the original statutes and do a better job of putting it on a mass basis. This provides for flexibility where flexibility is needed, recognizing that there are a tremendous number of flaws in the statute that have not been overcome. I think a lot of people would welcome efforts to clear that up, but without this, we allow the flaws that currently exist to dominate on the prosecution side while not providing a similar access to those flaws on the defensive side.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, rising on and against the amendment, I'd just like to review how we got here. Wyoming's current statute with respect to marijuana edibles has been found unenforceable by two district court judges, and if we don't get a bill out, there may be more to follow. In those districts, at least, edibles containing unlimited amounts of THC cannot be prosecuted. I agree with the sponsors that at some point we need to look at the concentration, and your Judiciary Committee struggled with that and could not come up with an answer. So I'd suggest that perhaps the best thing to do is to defeat this amendment, understanding that we will look at the concentration when we have more time. In the meantime, pass the bill as clean as possible so that we can get it on the books, lest we effectively legalize marijuana edibles in the state of Wyoming in unlimited concentrations. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion before the sponsor, Senator Burns?
Well, Mr. President, on and for the amendment, my good cohort here from my hometown just stated again what the problem is with the original law and what the problem is with this bill. They could not come to a fair or equitable conclusion or the wording or the amounts. And so their answer is to go ahead and pass this bill, which is overly punitive and makes a felony out of something which 10 miles south of here is perfectly legal and 15 miles north of my hometown is legal, until we finally get the wording. In the meantime, we are making felons out of people who are otherwise not lawbreakers. If we allow an affirmative defense, or if we allow this to be a misdemeanor, these people are still, and mostly kids, are still in for the hassle of their lives as a misdemeanor. It's going to cost them a ton of money, and as anybody who's gone through any kind of legal case knows what a hassle that is. But what we're doing here by felonizing this, if that's a word, thank you, is we're marking them for the rest of their lives as felons. They will not be able to vote. They will not be able to get weapons. They will not be able to get jobs. They will not ever be able to get elected to this office. And these are otherwise perfectly good kids for the most part. Now, I'm not saying keep it legal, but I'm saying let's not overreact to a loophole that's currently in the law.
Senator Kinski, for your second time.
Mr. President, thank you. My understanding of the basis of the district judge's ruling is currently it says if you've got edibles, it prohibits having essentially described as green leafy substance of marijuana in there. And the judge said, once it's made into a brownie, I can't tell whether there's green leafy anything in there. So this fixes this by saying if there's THC in there, it's a misdemeanor. So essentially it's the way the law used to be. The law did not care previously what the amount or the concentration was. We care now, but we need to come back later and work on that. Absent this, I'd emphasize, any amount of concentration is legal in these edibles. There's no age limit on it. And we've already had one death of a college student as a consequence of these edibles with ungodly amounts of THC concentration. So let's defeat this amendment, move this bill, and come back around and take a look at concentrations. We have to rely on prosecutors and police when a college student has a cookie or a pan of brownies to exercise discretion. My understanding is those are not charged as felonies, regardless of the weight of a pan of brownies. Now, if they have a warehouse full of brownies, that's a different matter. That's a felony. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And on and against the amendment, and really my concern, and as you can see on the bill, the sponsors are all former employees or employees of school districts. But if we don't pass this bill, essentially these companies are marketing and selling edible marijuana to young people, and it's suddenly legal in our schools. When we say at the age of 21, students can drink. And so I would urge you to pass this bill. We're seeing corporations market candy.
Point of order, Mr. President.
Okay.
Speak on the amendment, not the bill.
Thank you.
On the amendment. On the amendment, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, and I appreciate the intent, and I think that's what this Judiciary Committee grappled with for the whole interim, is just to try to strike the balance. We don't want to felonize, thanks for that new word there, something that otherwise wouldn't be captured. But here's the loophole in this amendment. So when we look at it and we start looking, it says the THC in a compound mixture or substance is not more than the amount contained in the plant material. The trouble is we had testimony over and over again, is it's variable. So the THC content in the plant material. So when we use that language, there's no standard. It could be single digits to 35% of that plant material is THC. So this basically says is it's whatever you want to bring in as evidence. So obviously what would happen is you'd go find the stuff that I think that was referenced that said that you could basically knock out an elephant with one of these brownies. That's going to set the highest bar possible for the level of THC. And who brings in the plant material? So we've got a moving target here. And while I agree with the intent of this is what we tried to grapple with. But when we just use the terminology that's contained in the plant material that's specified, that's the issue. It could be 35% THC in one plant material, and it can be 10 in the next. So, again, if we go down that road and you come in and you're captured under this, you're obviously your defense is going to go find the stuff that would knock an elephant out in one brownie or one cookie and say, see, I'm not captured. It gets back to the whole discussion we had earlier about portion size. So until we set some standards as to what that THC is, this just broadens it back out. And again, I agree with the intent. I just don't think this amendment gets us there because when we use that plant material component, it's not specified. It could be anywhere from 5 to 35%. So on and against the amendment. Appreciate the intent.
Senator Meyer, for your second time.
And, you know, folks, the way it's going to work, and there's a couple of things here that first we need to clear up, is that it's a felony at 3 ounces, and it's a felony at a warehouse. So you need to understand that. And the other thing is that when it gets in the court, yeah, certainly the defense may take the highest concentration. The prosecution is going to take the lowest concentration at 5%, and the judge is going to make that determination. And if the judge goes to the prosecution's standard at 5%, and what this allows the defense to say, that's it's affirmative if it's under what the prosecution says. And even if the prosecution goes down to 1%, if it's just smoke on the icing, then that's going to be an affirmative defense. And so the court makes that determination as to where that range is in the case before it. And the prosecution is going to go in at the lowest, defense at the highest. But we're talking about situations where it's actually the prosecution is going to defer to the defense in setting that, because they'll take the lowest that they can possibly get through the court. And it's going to be under that. That's the only time this is going to apply. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his final. Senator Case, for your second and final debate on the motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Time flies when you're doing marijuana edibles, I guess. Mr. President, you know, it is a new world out here. And we face the reality that our neighboring states treat these crimes differently. We have citizens that will be caught up in the differential between the penalty levels in the two states. We have to find a way through this. And we have to find a way that's fair. And I definitely concede that some of these edibles have small amounts of THC that are very, very powerful. Very powerful. And we have to be able to address that. Some of them are more like you might remember from college, if you went to my college, where it is fairly de minimis and no worse of a crime than the plant material that's in our law at 3 ounces or less. Now, I agree with you that plant material thing is not consistent. It depends what kind of level of THC is in that plant material. But I don't have a fix for that. The good Judiciary Committee worked hard to try to find a fix for this. They came back and said there's no way to tell the standard. Labs can't do it, not consistently. It's going to be too expensive. It's a burden on the system. All these things about it. This puts the burden on the criminal. It puts the burden on the defendant to come in and show one way or another if there's a whole bunch of THC or if there's not. And that's, we've all agreed here. You heard them say we need to go to a law that's based on that level. This allows the defendant at his expense to try to bring that evidence into court. That's all it allows. The court then gets to decide and the prosecutors get to decide, and it works itself out. And over time, standards will develop. Labs will get good at this. The system will evolve. But if you don't do this, you're going to catch your own kids, your grandkids, pour a cookie in their car, no matter what the level. It might be the gummy bear we described the other day that's very powerful, or it might be the olive oil that was described that practically had nothing at all. And you're going to treat them like felons. And we've got enough felons. We've got the most incarceration rate of anybody in the country, and the United States is way off the chart. And you ruin those people. And then you can't give them jobs, and they can't run for office, and they can't vote, and you wonder why they're turned off on America. Be realistic about this, Mr. President. This is one way, and it'll evolve over time, and we can fix it. But if we let this bill go out without fixing it, we've done a great disservice to our citizens, and we really haven't looked at the reality of the world now.
We're on the amendment, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 96. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
The amendment has failed. The division hasn't been called for. All those in favor, please stand. Well, those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. We're on second reading amendment number 2. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I've had an uneasy feeling about this bill since we first heard about it. And the prior debate has, I think, crystallized my feelings on the subject. It seems to me, Mr. President, that we need the bill because of the court rulings. These edibles are dangerous. We've had a death from them. Now, the death occurred in our neighboring state, but it was a college student going to college here in Wyoming. They're dangerous to young kids who may get poisoned by them, thinking they are the sweet that they appears to be. So we need the bill. But, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
I asked the.
If I may, did you know that there was a second reading amendment?
No, is there another second?
There's another amendment.
Okay.
Your discussion is right on board for the next, once we dispose of this another amendment. Thank you. We're on second reading amendment number 2, corrected copy. Would the reading clerk please read in that amendment?
Senate file 96, second reading amendment number 2, corrected copy. Delete the page 1, line 4.
Thank you, Senator Meyer, on the corrected copy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 96. Ask for the body's favorable consideration. I want to draw attention to the body that I did include the second reading amendment number 1 in this bill in subparagraph C. It is divisible. And because that failed, Mr. President, I would wish to divide that amendment and have a vote on the subparagraph C being the first division and vote on that first before I explain the rest of the amendment, Mr. President. And, Mr. President, I'll represent that it was equivalent to the second reading first amendment. And folks, you all get a chance to look at this and think about what we are doing. I will say that I am in support of this. I would hope that the folks that voted against this would reconsider it from the standpoint that we are allowing judicial discretion in this amendment. That we're not making a decision on the law as it stands today. We're not saying that we should vote against this bill. Mr. President, this amendment or this division of this amendment, essentially, Mr. President, I think allows for judicial discretion, allows for prosecutorial discretion. It allows to try to, in the future, the court to establish what those different concentrations should be. It doesn't leave it to our body. It allows the court to do that, Mr. President. And frankly, I think we're never going to have the understanding that the court and the prosecutors do on this particular issue. And that's probably where that should be allowed to proceed to make the determination as far as the concentrations and the levels. I think it's a better place than this body because each one of us, I doubt if any of us will ever have the understanding that the judges and the prosecutors have. And that's probably the proper place to make that determination. So, Mr. President, I would hope that we vote for this. We've already had the discussion. It's really a question about whether we try to make that decision or whether we defer it to prosecutorial and the courts having the ability to sort that out. And I think it should be in the court system. They've got a better understanding of this topic, a better understanding that we will ever have. And so, Mr. President, I would just ask that that people take a look at that and make the decision as to whether we want to tackle this or do we want to have the experts tackle it. Thank you, Mr.
President. Senator Meyer, I apologize. I don't know what you just said with respect to division. Did you attempt to make a division?
Well, yes, Mr. President, and it would be on line 43 and down to line 5 on the next page.
Senator Meyer, it appears to me that it's not divisible. I think you could withdraw that amendment, but I don't think it's divisible because I don't think it stands on its own.
Okay. All right, Mr. President. I'll withdraw that.
All right. Without objection.
That portion.
Without objection, the sponsor of the amendment has withdrawn lines 43 through 45 on page 1 of the amendment.
That's okay.
And lines 1 through 5 on the second page of the amendment. Is that correct, Senator Meyer?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, without objection, that element, which is subparagraph C under Romanet number 6, has been withdrawn. So the corrected amendment that's before the body for debate is the balance of the amendment. Now, with that being the case, Senator Meyer, I give you some leeway because I'm not sure whether you were speaking to the amendment or to the bill or the amendment. To the amendment or the amendment with the withdrawn portion. So
I was speaking to the withdrawn portion, Mr. President.
Well, I think you should have asked for that first.
Right, right.
Before,
right.
But right. It's now withdrawn, so you've spoken to a withdrawn item and you've used your whole 5 minutes. No.
I speak it on a division, Mr. President. Okay.
I will give you the courtesy of 2 minutes.
Oh, Mr. President, I was trying to divide it. I was on the division.
So you need to ask for the division first.
I did, Mr. President, and then I was counseled to withdraw it. So,
all right. Talked.
Well, let's quit talking, or we'll be down to 30 seconds. Okay, folks. All right. Basically, A and B stays the same as in the bill. New paragraph 6 basically has a stair-step provision and it also has something in lieu of, as applicable, the court may have punishment imposed under this paragraph may require substance abuse treatment or probation not to exceed 1 year. The first time there's a conviction, it's up to 8 days in the county jail, or up to no more than $300 fine. The second is 30 days in prison and not more than a $1,000 fine. And the third is, and subsequent is from 3 years the date of the first conviction, is 120 days in the county jail or $3,000. And that's in lieu of basically your standard 6 months, $750. So the dollars go up, and we provide for treatment and more probation so you can get treatment. So, and that's the first 3 times. It doesn't do anything with the felony. Felony provisions stay exactly the same as it is in the current bill, that if you got over three ounces or 3 grams, then it's a felony. Same felony provision. So those of you who want to put people in prison as felons, you still have that option under this. But for those of you who think these guys that get caught the first few times, that you go the treatment route and the probation route to keep them under control, keep a watch on them, then it allows these kids or whoever's in that situation to be able to have that treatment option and that probation option, Mr. President.
Thank you. And just heads up on debate, I think if you say for those that want to put them in prison, they may still do it, that would be an acceptable debate. But to say those of you who want to do it is not acceptable debate, that personalizes the debate. Okay. With that, we're on the amendment without the withdrawal. Back to Senator Scott on the amendment.
Mr. President, on for the amendment. Now, I haven't had time to fully track it in, but it appears to me this removes the felony provision from the bill. And the first question I'm going to have is whether it does or whether there's still a felony provision here. Mr. President, it seems to me that this improves the bill quite a bit, gives us a graduated set of misdemeanors for violations. And, Mr. President, misdemeanors don't carry the life-wrecking potentiality that a felony does. I think with the experiment that's going on across our borders with total legalization, which I think is ultimately going to prove to have been a mistake, but it is going on. And with the attitudes I see in the society, I think a good many perfectly reasonable citizens are likely to violate this law on a small scale. Some of them will get caught. And, Mr. President, I think it's unwise to rely too much on prosecutorial discretion, because you make everybody a criminal, give the prosecutors discretion. Sooner or later, somebody figures out they can start dealing with their enemies by getting them convicted of felonies and really putting the hammer on them, and that's not good policy. We ought to limit the penalties that we allow to be charged in the first place rather than depend on prosecutorial discretion, Mr. President. And I think on this particular one, a high misdemeanor, which is what you eventually get to in here, $3,000 fine, 120 days in jail, that is a pretty potent deterrent. That's the deterrent that's needed to protect the safety of our population, and particularly I'm worried about the safety of kids who may innocently ingest these things if they're around the home and get in trouble. So, Mr. President, I think this makes this a much more workable bill, and I would ask, does this get rid of the felony entirely, or are we going to need a third reading amendment to do that?
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, I'm going to try to represent as best I can my former day job, which I would tell you a couple of years ago when this grand experiment from the South kicked into gear, the very next year at the college up in the center part of the state, incidents which were brought about by the possession of some of these substances spiked by about 10 times what we had the year before. And I'll take you back to maybe your college days. I don't know about you all, but one weekend we went to the City of Lights a couple of states over. It's nothing to drive until you can't drive anymore. I mean, it's 3.5 hours from the center part of the state. You can go down south and buy anything you want. And everybody on the floor of your residence hall might just say, hey, while you're down there, you know, I could sure use a couple cookies. Well, then one of these young men or women that I got to see in my office comes in, and they've been racked up on this thing. And if the bill stands as is, I'm going to have to look at them and say, well, you know, you're looking at 12 months and $1,000. The amendment says, look, we're going to fine you $300. You might get 6 or 8 days in jail. That, to me, folks, seems a little more reasonable. and still accomplishes what we set out to do, which is to say it's not legal here, and we're going to ratchet it up. If you do it again, you are going to get hammered a little bit more. But let's, on this first and second offense, Mr. President, let's use the ruler and not the hammer. On and for the amendment.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, a motion with a question in it here. Is this divisible? I'd make a motion to divide it. The first division is 1 through 4, lines 1 through 4, and continuing on down from 34 through, 34 through 42 be the first division. And the idea behind that is that, as was previously stated, this is already existing language in the bill that we're working with. And so I think it just kind of clouds things. I'd like to separate those so we can have a clear discussion on two
parts. So your request would be, tell me where the end of your proposed division is.
1 through 4 and 34 through 43 on the lines.
Court determines that that are not the court, but it could be the court.
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honorable President.
The chair determines that that's not divisible. The the subparagraphs A and B would not stand alone.
If I may speak on the amendment.
You may.
Thank you. Again, the intent is noble and appropriate, and I hear that. Both in this body and out in the communities. But we're mixing up some things here. And for one thing, if I read this right, this doesn't change the felony level. It just changes level of sentencing for felonies. And before we get into that, I think we need to be very careful and involve the judiciary, involve the prosecutors, involve the people who are working in the industry before we come up with a 8-day felony. Not that I'm opposed to the 8-day idea, but it's how this starts to all come together, and this might not be ready. And a third reading amendment might give us some opportunity to clarify what this means and if we're looking at different things. And we've talked, the language has been used, high misdemeanor, felony, misdemeanor. I'm not sure that's going to get us where we think we're headed.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Landon, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate it. It might be helpful for me, at least, to know if there was a little bit of discussion. You know, one of the problems that I see in our work in this day and age is that sometimes it feels like we're just passing off our decisions on the judiciary. And I wonder if there was conversation during some of those meetings that have been brought up as to whether or not various locations across the state are going to treat this thing differently. I mean, one of the reasons that I think it would be good if we can arrive at something that we agree on here is that it kind of levels that playing field out there. I just wonder if there was conversations in that regard. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Kinski.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, Judiciary Committee, our best work is when we take care and we involve all the stakeholders over the various hearings that we have. Those stakeholders are the police and sheriffs, prosecutors and county attorneys, defense attorneys, and the judiciary. In my short experience, I've found that where we don't do that, which has not happened to this amendment, not always, but invariably, we look back and think maybe we should have taken a little bit more time. And that's what I'm asking on this amendment. Again, I applaud the motivation. It's just very complex for us to be considering at this time. I'd urge the defeat of the amendment and the passage of a simple bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
And if Senator Cole.
If I read that right, I'm trying to interpret it.
Oh, excuse me.
Turn me on.
No, not in your life. No. Not in your life. But I did turn on Perkins. It's back to you, Senator Cole.
Yeah, just a question of the sponsor, Mr. President. If I read this right, is it the third offense out there that can be treated as a felony and the first two because of the amounts of the fines and the other things makes the first two misdemeanors and the third a felony?
Further discussion before we turn it over to the sponsor for his final time on Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try to answer some of these questions the way I read the bill. It doesn't change the difference between the misdemeanor and the felony level because that's what's outlined in subsection A. So it's 3 ounces. Once you go over 3 ounces, it's a felony. So everything in this bill strictly deals with the misdemeanor portion of it within the amendment, not the bill, Mr. President. So when you go in there, the way I read this, when we insert that new paragraph, Romanet 6, that just specifies the penalties under the misdemeanor component. Doesn't change anything to do with the felony. Once you go over 4 ounces of an edible, it's a felony. Mr. President, that's the way I read the bill in.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his last time. If not, we're back to the sponsor for his final time, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now that I got 5 minutes, Mr. President, the good senator from Carbon County and in the central region of the states is correct as far as the interpretation of when a felony occurs. Is that it's over that 3 ounces. So the felony provision is still in there. The way it's structured, while it remains to be a felony, is because it follows the language that's already in the substance abuse statutes, and so that follows down to there. Now, the provision of the 3 years in the third or subsequent conviction in this paragraph within 3 years, what that does is that your first conviction gets wiped off in the beginning of the fourth year. So then you have two. And the reason for that, Mr. President, is that right now you had the three strikes and you're out. And so you could have four of these within 3 years. That automatically kicks you over into the habitual criminal area, and it's automatically a felony. So if you got caught with four marijuana cigarettes or four edibles within, four edibles within 3 years, then you would become a felon. But you get to reset that first conviction in the first, so you can reset every 3 years before you actually go in the felony structure. Now, as far as bringing in the different stakeholders in this, Mr. President, I actually talked to some folks in probation and parole. And so that's another stakeholder that wasn't mentioned, and that's really important in the treatment phase, because when somebody gets on probation, they can have good time, or if they go into the jail terms, then they get credited so many good time days for so much time they serve, and when they get out, they may not have enough days left in their probation to actually do a treatment. And so that's why we went to extended that time period that the court has jurisdiction over them for a year. Because, indeed, if you get caught the first time, there may be some treatment things that are 2 weeks or 30 days or 90 days. But you only have 8 days right now as a judge to put that treatment into place. This allows the court to actually put that treatment into place, whether it's 8 days, 30 days, or 120 days, because they have a whole year, and they get a whole year to keep these people, keep their eye on them. So if they reoffend, then they can come back in and they can do any treatment program that's necessary, Mr. President. And I think that's a really important part of what we need to do with our criminal justice statutes, is to make sure that probation and parole have that flexibility, and the court has that flexibility to say that you have to go in the treatment, and we have to get you squared around. We're not saying that this is legal. We're saying this is something that the people in Wyoming we don't tolerate. We don't tolerate you having edibles and using edibles. But this allows for a stair-step progression of misdemeanors before you get into the felony statutes. And so if you have that low level, you have that ability, the court has that ability to actually get in, get somebody into the treatment programs, get them lined out, let them know how we feel about edibles, and hopefully, Mr. President, then they won't offend. And so I think that's really important, that flexibility that we have in probation and parole, and the court has that in treatment. So that's a very important part of this amendment. And I think it's important also to have that progression in there in the misdemeanor phases of the crime. And, Mr. President, I think it's a reasonable way to go about this. I think it sets forth what that we in Wyoming want to do. We want to make sure that the felony provision is still in there. We want to make sure that we have that option for treatment, and we have that judicial and prosecutorial flexibility when folks first get into the system. And, Mr. President, that's what this amendment does, and I would hope for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I've spoken twice.
Senator, the A's and A's have been called for. We're on the amendment. This is second reading amendment number 2. It is the entire amendment, but the following language is withdrawn. Lines 43 through 45 and lines 1 through 4. Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 18 aye, 12 no.
Second reading number 2. Corrected copy. Accepting the withdrawn amount has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none. Senate File 96, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 97, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 97, Student and School Safety Call Center.
There are no amendments, no discussions. Senate File 97 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read or heard a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 99, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 99, Emergency Medical Services.
Looks like we have an amendment. The ring clerk would please read it in.
Senate File 99, second reading amendment number 1, page 3, after line 8.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 99.
I think you need to pull the mic towards you, Senator. Thank you.
Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 99. Members of the body, this deals with the, again, with our rural health care emergency medical services. What we've done in there is we've just gone into the standing committee amendment. The only thing this does is go in there and it deletes the existing subsection D. And what D does is when the district would go on and if they passed a mill levy to fund an emergency medical services district, every 4 years they would then have to go back on the ballot. And when we're dealing with essential medical services in these rural districts, it creates a great deal of instability and uncertainty within that district. I mean, they're probably going to acquire assets, facilities, personnel. And when you go back on the ballot every 4 years, what it effectively does, this is just due to the vagarity of the climate at the time, you always risk whether you're going to have an operating and a functional district or not because you don't have any money. Only thing this does is goes in and it inserts a new subsection D is consistent with what we already did with rural health care districts and just said you still have to go on the ballot if 10% of the electorate petitions and signs a petition and takes that to the county commissioner. So we've set the bar very low that if you get 10% of the electorate are very unhappy with the way that district's forming, they can get you back on the ballot. And you just take that to the county commissioners, you go on. So, members of the body, one of the things that we grappled with in your Corporations Committee last year is some of the 440-some special districts that we have out here. What this does is, with some of the work that the Senate's previously done, is start to add some consistency in how these districts would go about maintaining any local mill levy appropriations. With that, members of the body, I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. We're on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 99. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment's been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Second. Senate File 99, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 100, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 100, Special Districts Emergency Medical Services.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 100, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 101, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 101, Public Health Laboratory Fees.
There are no amendments. There appears to be no discussion. Senate File 101, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 102, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 102, Federal Funds Distribution.
There appears to be no amendments, and there's no discussion. Senate File 102, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, second reading of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 4, labeling for genetically engineered items, 2.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, there's no amendments. There appears to be no discussion. Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of businesses of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list, and I move third reading consent list, which is follows. Senate File 4, Military Service Member Protection. Senate File 6, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges. Senate File 12, Vietnam War Commemoration 2. Senate File 18, Competitive Bid Specification Requirements. Senate File 24, Supplemental At-Risk Funding for Early Childhood Education. Senate File 39, Cease and Transfer Priority List. Senate File 50, Sexual Assault Position of Authority. Senate File 52, State Shrub. Senate File 53, 2016 Large Project Funding. Senate File 58, Involuntarily Hospitalization and Treatment. Senate File 60, Public Health Nursing. Senate File 62, Homemade Beverages. Senate File 63, Economic Development Programs Revision. Senate File 65, Patent Roll Trolling. Senate File 72, 70 miles per hour speed limit, state highways. Senate File 73, welfare fraud prevention. Senate File 74, state minors hospital board employees. Senate File 78, Office of Consumer Advocate repeal date. Senate File 82, palliative care. Senate File 85, medical education. Senate File 86, medical assistant program design. Senate File 88, state lands within Grand Teton National Park. Senate File 89, workers' compensation, time for requesting hearing. Senate File 90, lifetime game and fish licenses, Purple Heart recipients. Senate File 91, state penal facility review. Senate File 92, state construction project. And Senate File 94, payment for educational services.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, did you want to set Senate File 88, the Grand Teton National Park, back one day?
Mr. President?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, Mr. President, I ask that Senate File 88 be removed from the consent list and actually delayed, laid back until tomorrow for third reading. And, Mr. President, I'd also like to ask that 70 File 78 be withdrawn from the consumer, from the consent list and laid back in tomorrow. And, Mr. President, on Senate File 78, what I did is I had a meeting this morning with the administrative of the OCA and trying to work out our differences. Many of the concerns I had, Mr. President, are still valid and real, and the discussion I had this morning reaffirmed them. However, Mr. President, I'm not sure that the OCA is the cause of those issues, so we're trying to work out some agreements between us to see where we come up with to try to solve this without having a bill move forward. So that's why I want it laid back until tomorrow.
Okay, so without objection, Senate File 78, Office of Consumer Advocate repeal date, and Senate File 88, state lands within Grand Teton National Park, are removed from the consent list and are further laid back for one additional day. You have no objection? That's so ordered. We're back on the consent list. Would any member like any of the items on the consent list removed? Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would like Senate File 92 removed from the consent list. State construction of project.
Senate File 92 is removed from the consent list. Any other files? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Senate File 6, First Judicial District, number of district judges. We could remove that.
Senate File 6 is removed from the consent list. Any further requests? No further requests? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 4, Military Service Member Protections. Senate File 12, Vietnam War Commemoration 2. Senate File 18, Competitive Bid Specification Requirements. Senate File 24, Supplemental At-Risk Funding for Early Childhood Education. Senate File 39, Cease and Transfer Priority List. Senate File 50, Sexual Assault Position of Authority. Senate File 52, State Shrub. Senate File 53, 2016 Large Project Funding. Senate File 88, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment. Senate File, let me make sure I said, I don't know what I said, but I tended to say Senate File 58, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment. Senate File 60, Public Health Nursing. Senate File 62, Homemade Beverages. Senate File 63, Economic Development Programs Revisions. Senate File 65, Patent Trolling. Senate File 72, 70 miles per hour speed limit state highways. Senate File 73, Welfare Fraud Prevention. Senate File 74, State Minors Hospital Board Employees. Senate File 82, Palliative Care. Senate File 85, Medical Education. Senate File 86, Medical Assistance Program Design. Senate File 89, Workers' Compensation, Time for Requesting Hearing. Senate File 90, Lifetime Game and Fish License Purple Heart Recipients. Senate File 91, State Penal Facilities Review. And Senate File 94, Payment for Educational Services. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
On the consent list, Anderson?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Meyer,
aye. Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 4, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 4, 30 aye. Senate File 12, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 12, 30 aye. Senate File 18, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Von Platern, aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 18. 28 aye to no. Senate File 24. Bebout, aye to no. Case, aye to no.
Hicks,
aye to no. Closing vote. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 24, 25 aye. 5 no. Senate File 39, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 30. 30 aye.
39.
I'm sorry, Senate File 39, 30 aye. Senate File 50, are there changes? Case, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Ross,
aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 50, 22 aye, 8 no. Senate File 52. Are there any changes? Ross, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no. Co, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 52, 25 aye, 5 no. Senate File 58, are there any changes? I'm sorry.
We're at 53.
We are. Senate File 53, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 53, 30 aye. Senate File 58, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 58, 30 aye. Senate File 60, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 60, 30 aye. Senate File 62, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 62, 30 aye. Senate File 63, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 63. 27 aye, 3 no. Senate File 65. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 65, 30 aye. Senate File 72, are there any changes? Barnard, aye to no. Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 72, 28 aye, 2 no. Senate File 73, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 73, 30 aye. Senate File 74, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 74, 27 aye, 3 no. Senate File 82, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Coe.
Oh, I don't know.
I to know. Barnard, I to know. Pappas, I to know. Von Fladern, I to know. Perkins, I to know. Ross, I to know. Kinski, I to know. Dockstetter, I to know. Meyer, I to know.
Nicholas, no.
Nicholas, I to know. Anderson, I to know. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 82, 16 I, 14 no. Senate File 85, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 85, 30 I. Senate File 86, are there any changes? Rothfuss, I to know. Emmerich, I to know. Johnson, I to know. Case, I to know. Kraft, I to know. Von Fladern, I to know. Escobel, I to know. Hastert, I to know. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 86. 22 I, 8 no. Senate File 89. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 89. 30 I. Senate File 90. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Case, I to know. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 90. 29 I, 1 no. Senate File 91, are there any changes?
Hicks, I to know.
Hicks, I to know. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 91, 29 I, 1 no. Senate File 94, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 94, 30 I.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 4, 12, 18, 24, 39, 50, 52, 53, 58, 60, 62, 63, 65, 72, 73, 74, 82, 85, 86, 89, 90, 91, and 94 have all passed the Senate. Mr. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor.
You may have it.
Mr. President, and to the Senate, I'd like to introduce our Teton County School Board. If they please stand up. They come across the state, and we see a lot of familiar faces that spend a lot of time. Please join us in welcoming our school board and our new superintendent.
All of them.
welcome. Senate File 6, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 6, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges, an act relating to the judiciary, sponsored by Senator Ross. Was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, and Von Flatern. Senator Christensen, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I ask this be pulled off the consent list. Mr. President, in many ways, this is a budget item. Mr. President, I would ask precisely what this is expected to cost once, and I understand the county has to provide the facilities first, so there's a little uncertainty as to when it will come in. But I think the cost is over $1 million. I would ask precisely what it is, and I would say to the Senate, I have no doubt that the workload formula that the judiciary uses to justify additional judges probably justifies this one, but in our current fiscal circumstances, where our revenues are going down, we've had, as you know, tremendous difficulty balancing our budget, Mr. President, I would ask the Senate to consider, is this something we really need to do at this time? Or would we be better off postponing this additional judge for a few years till our fiscal circumstance stabilizes? No telling what this downturn is going to do to our workload on the district courts. And I really wonder, Mr. President, if the prudent thing to do wouldn't be to delay this slightly. Do we better know what kind of shape we're going to be in and what kind of workload is going to be as a result of the downturn that we're getting.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Along that same line, and members of the Senate, you may recall we've had a couple of other situations come up where the judiciary comes to the legislature and asks for an additional judge, one in the central part of our state up in Johnson County and one over in Sublette County. And, Mr. President, you know, the need probably is correct when you look at Laramie County for a fourth judge. I don't think I would argue that so much, but some of the other decisions we made, you would wonder why we made them. When you look at them now, maybe we didn't need to do that at the particular time we did it. So my question is, you know, if you look at the times we're going through, revenue problems that we're experiencing, why would you not have judiciary come back and look at all of the other districts and see if there's a better way to do it? Maybe we could combine some districts, have the judges do different things, and let that cost be spread over those judicial districts where we might not need the load that we have. So my question is, why did we not do that? And if you look at this bill, all it says is the only thing that's stopping it from going forward, really, other than we have to prove it again, is that they build a courthouse. Well, if they build a courthouse, it's going to be awfully difficult to say no. So I think we ought to look at the whole judicial district as a whole. Maybe there's some other places where it could be more cost-effective and certainly find the money to do this. Otherwise, I'm opposed to the bill, Mr. President.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, answer the question by the good, tall senator from Natrona County. You can expect it to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.1 million to $1.2 million per biennium, and that's consistent with the other district court judges. Now, and those budgets basically consist of personnel. And, of course, not only that, but your health insurance and all that other stuff. So it's really people. With regard to the question of the majority floor leader, I didn't really go into that. I mean, we'd have to have a whole separate bill, and we'd have to decide whether or not you wish to move some judges from the central part of the state to elsewhere. I guess it could be done, but, I know the particular one that may be making reference to, they did build a courthouse for him. So, I can't solve that, but there's a real problem here in Laramie County, and And the fact of the matter is this is several years away from actually ever coming to fruition. There's a lot of work that would have to be done. Our county commissioners are currently looking at whether or not to redo their current courthouse. That would take some significant dollars and some significant modifications, because you have to have a courtroom that can accommodate a 12-man jury. You have to have a courtroom that can accommodate housing the prisoner and transportation of the prisoner in between for criminal cases. So that's one option that they're looking at. They're also looking at whether or not they would move the whole courthouse out to the Archer area, which in my opinion would be a really bad mistake. But you got the jail right next to the courthouse. Now you got all kinds of prisoner kind of issues in terms of transportation and so forth. But that is yet to be resolved. And even if they do resolve it, we still have the power, folks. The future legislature still has the power at that time to appropriate money or not. So if we're still in this rainy season, we don't have to do it. But I suggest to you that by delaying this, you delay that even further, because the real reason for this bill was to acknowledge the need and to give a little impetus to the county to really push forward with facilities that can accommodate a judge. Without it, we just don't have that ability at this point in time. So I'd urge your aye vote on the bill, and stand for any questions if I haven't answered them already.
Senator Bebout, for your second.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. The only thing I would caution the Senate on is I understand my good colleague, the Chairman of Appropriations, argument, and that we want to try to get the county to make a decision on their courthouse, but once they make that decision and build it, then they're going to come to us and say, well, now we've got our courthouse, how are we going to ever say no? That's the only problem I have with it, Mr. President.
Discussion on the amendment. Is there any further discussion?
On the bill.
I apologize. I meant to say on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? There being none. Senate File 6, Senate File 6, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Roll call.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye.
Burns,
no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 aye, 9 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members, Senate File 6 has passed the Senate. Senate File 92, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 92, State Construction Project, an act relating to administration of government, sponsored by Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, members of the body, the reason I had this bill pulled off is I want to try to articulate some of my concerns. And I think Mr. President has done a good job at illustrating some of the issues that we're trying to navigate and some of the difficulties and deficiencies when it comes to capital construction. But here's my concern, is we're creating a whole new state agency here, folks. And we're doing this through a bill. And it seems to me like it may be a little premature. While I do understand that there's some urgency to do this, when I go back and I look at the fiscal note on here, and I go back there and it used the word assumes almost seven or eight times, you know, we assume the community colleges are included. We assume major maintenance is included. We assume that leasing is going to be included. So my cautionary side says maybe we ought to slow down, and this should be an interim topic for one of the committees to be appointed by management council to really see what we're doing here. Because we're pulling different agencies in, different capital construction accounts, and a whole range of things, and we're creating a new government agency. And I think we all fundamentally know here that when you create more agencies, the one thing that you're almost assured is they're going to grow. That's the number one function of government. And I look at the assumptions. We're going to hire and appoint a new director for this agency, but we're just going to move people over at the same grade level. I don't know if that's going to happen or don't. I guess what I'm saying is I do believe there's a fundamental need that we address this and look at. But when I come back to my conservative principles, first thing I say, when we get to these issues, we should try to reform state government. So we need to maybe go into those programs first with a detailed analysis and study and say, look, within the existing program, can we reform that to meet the end objectives of what we want to accomplish, which is fiscally responsible, sound construction by an agency. What I'm afraid that we're doing here is we're leaping to a pre-gone conclusion that this is the only remedy that we have available to us is to create another government agency in the state of Wyoming. So, Mr. President, I thank you for the opportunity, but I did want to express those concerns to the body.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader, if you please come forward.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think I acknowledge all of the concerns that are created raised by my colleague in the discussion of this bill. With respect to the issue of whether creating a new state agency, certainly this would create a new agency number, but it is, in fact, a consolidation. It's a consolidation of taking our school capital construction group and merging it with an existing capital construction group, which is ANI Capital Construction. Under the new language, the leasing and some of the regular maintenance will stay with ANI division. With respect to whether or not, what are the benefits are to consolidate two existing entities. One is the school capital construction, which engages in more frequent number of construction activities beginning to end, and the second is our construction management group. Both groups relative to other states are small. Both groups would serve the combined resources and the collaboration that would exist if you merge the two. Will there be a single higher paid director? I think that is part of the objective. The answer to that is yes. I think when you begin to look at the amount of construction that we have throughout the state on a continuous basis, and you begin to look at the management of construction contracts and whether or not these projects are brought in on budget, whether they're brought in at budget or below budget, and whether or not the work being performed is provided the benefit and the value to the taxpayer, you have to ask yourself serious questions. We have a facility in Laramie that was constructed that's still not operating today. Predating this issue and predating both of these agencies, we have a facility in Rollins that's now requiring substantial attention. We have issues of cost overruns. When you look at the school budgets and you look at the cost overruns and the amount of contingencies that we set aside, you do have to ask yourself, do we need to get a handle of this agency, and does there need to be more accountability that arrives and that you obtain through having a single director that's appointed by the governor, that's confirmed by this body, and has more responsibility directed to the legislature as well as to the governor himself. And certainly on the construction side, that's true. We do need to keep the benefits of the two agencies that are the two entities that are oversight. This bill does that. The State Land Investment Board and the Capitol Building Commission will still adopt the rules with respect to the state construction, and school facilities commissions will with respect to the schools. So we combine them to merge to create a stronger entity. There is no net fiscal impact in the sense that the departments will merge together with a single budget. The flexibility that you see there is the opportunity for the governor to go through and divide out agencies to say, okay, this employee belongs, this one doesn't. And we always have to have engaged in that flexibility. We did it with ITS because it wasn't clear which people that were working on IT systems throughout the government would be brought back into the central entity. And we successfully there gave the governor that capacity. And if he moves the wrong people, we have a budgetary process in the Appropriations Committee to realign that and bring that into order next year. But there's no new appropriations, no new authorizations. The merging of this consolidation of these two divisions must occur with the current number of FTEs and budget, and it's up to the governor to make that combination. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Further discussion on Senate File 92? Seeing none, Senate File 92 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geist?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 aye, 3 no.
Senate File 92, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 72 has passed the Senate. Let me restate that. Senate File 92, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 92 has passed the Senate. Thank you for the correction. Do you have any further messages? Does that clear the desk? Okay. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk, or that order of business of whatever you should direct.
Mr. President, whatever I want to do?
Within certain limits.
Oh,
broad limits.
Let me have a chance to think about that, yeah. Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the Senate stand recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements, Senator Von Fladern?
Thank you, Mr. President. Number 9, Minerals, your committee, Number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in L51 in Jonah Financial Center. That is the room off the atrium to the, I guess you'd call it the southeast. And to listen to an ITC update for us, and they'll serve us lunch. And then we'll come back to our committee room about 30 minutes later for House Bill 10, Clean Water Revolving Fund Amendments, and House Bill 28, Engross Cease and Transfer Program Local Government Funding. Thank you.
Further announcements. Senator Hastert.
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
members of the Senate, under in the gallery out there, I'd like to also welcome the Sweetwater County. I'm going to have do it all in one. We have Sweetwater 1 and Sweetwater 2 members, board members, superintendents from both Rock Springs and Green River. I'd like you to welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome. Any further announcements? If not, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.